بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the three fundamental principles, and we have reached the point where the author rahimahullah was mentioning the evidences for the pillars of Islam when he said that the first rank of the deen is the rank of submission and istislam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam. And then he gave the evidences for that, and the meaning of La ilaha illallah, the first pillar, and then the second pillar, and then now and the third pillar, and then he came to as-siyam, the fasting, and he said, وَدَلِيلُ الصِّيَامِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 183, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what means, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed as an obligation for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, as an obligation, that you may become from, attain taqwa, muttaqeen, pious. And what is the meaning of siyam? Siyam means worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abstaining from the all kinds of food, drinks, and other matters which nullify the fasting, from the time of dawn until the time of sunset. And we mentioned in the definition, worshipping Allah by abstaining from these things. Why we said as a worship? This is done as a worship, because a person may withhold and abstain from eating, drinking, etc., because of an illness or due to a certain diet and so forth. Certainly in siyam, in fasting, there are great benefits. From that is relinquishing of the lowly desires of the self and the nourishment of the will, one's will, and the striving of the self, training it on patience and forbearing, and making the fasting aware of the abundant favors of Allah upon him. And fasting is from the great matters which helps the believer attain the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And taqwa means piety, and this means seeking to protect oneself from the punishment of Allah by executing his commands and abstaining from his prohibitions. This is the meaning of taqwa. The fasting has been ordained upon us as it was an obligation upon nations before us, although in terms of the manner and the timing there is difference. Fasting one complete month of Ramadan in the way which is known is from the specific qualities of this ummah, of this nation. This verse highlights the importance of fasting, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an obligation upon the nations before us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated it upon every nation. Second, reminding us that this matter is made easy for this ummah, since it is not alone in having this duty to face. Then the author, rahimahullah, want to mention the dalil, the evidence for the Hajj. فقال, so he said, ودليل الحج, and the evidence for the Hajj is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. In Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verse 97. And Hajj, to Allah's sacred house, the Kaaba, is a duty that mankind owes to Allah. And whoever, this is a duty on those who can afford this, the expenses for one's conveyance, provision, and residence. And whoever disbelieves, whoever refuses and rejects the obligation of Hajj, then he is a disbeliever. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands not in need of any of the alameen, because he is all rich subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah was revealed in the 9th year after the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is when the Hajj became an obligation. And as you can tell from this verse, it is conditional upon ability. Those who are able to do. So therefore it shows that the Hajj is not an obligation upon someone who is unable to do it. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, and Hajj is a duty that mankind owes to Allah. So is the kafir included in this address? Yes. This covers the children of Adam, the believers and the non-believers, because Allah said, عَلَى النَّاسِ, mankind, upon mankind, meaning it is an obligation upon the believer and the unbeliever. And this is from the evidences that the kafirs are addressed with the commands, as we have discussed this many times. So anyone who abandons the Hajj, anyone who abandons the Hajj while he is from those who qualify, meaning those upon which the Hajj is obligated and is able to do, then he commits kufr. However, this term kufr here, it is a kufr which does not take a person out of the religion of the deen according to the majority of the scholars. However, if he abandons that, denying its obligation upon him, then this is a major kufr that takes him out of the fold of Islam. So this kufr here is of the lesser kufr, which does not take a person out of the religion, due to the saying of Abdullah bin Shaqiq rahimahullah, that the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not used to regard the abandonment of any action to be kufr except for the abandonment of the prayer. Sometimes, therefore, as you can tell now, that the term kufr may refer to the kufr of deeds, not the kufr which takes the person out of the fold of Islam. Now the author rahimahullah, after giving these evidences for the pillars of Islam, he went to say concerning the second level of the deen, al-martabatu thaniyatu al-imanu wa huwa bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah فأعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. He said that the second level of the deen is Iman, and it has 70 and odd branches. And this odd meaning, it is an unstated number between 3 and 9. And that the highest of these branches is the saying, لا إله إلا الله, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. وأدناها, and the lowest of these branches, إماطة الأذى عن الطريق, is removal of that which is harmful from the path. والحياء شعبة من الإيمان, and الحياء, bashfulness, is a branch of إيمان. Having a sense of shame is a branch of إيمان. إيمان linguistically is التصديق, attestation, belief. And legally it means having certain faith in the heart, speech of the tongue, and actions of the body parts. And that it has 70 and odd branches. This hadith indicates that the branches of Iman, that the branches of faith of Iman vary, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the highest and the lowest, and did not mention that which is in between. And there is no report in the Sunnah, a textual proof defining these branches. Some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, exerted the effort to count and to enumerate these branches. Some of them had reached the number, so they compiled the awamir of Sharia, the commands of Sharia, and the noble characters, and that which constitutes righteousness. So that altogether brought this number. And some were close to this number. Sufficient to know that every trait of goodness is from faith, is from the branches of faith. The highest, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَعْلَاهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, the highest of which is saying لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is the kalima of ikhlas, the kalima of sincerity and purity, and it is kalimatul Islam, the statement of Islam, and it is kalimatul taqwa, and it is the word of taqwa, and it is the foundation of the deen. And in this hadith, therefore, there is evidence for the people of knowledge who say that this kalima is the best of speech, absolutely, and that it is better than the kalimat of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. And then he mentioned the Prophet والسلام, the lowest of the branches of faith is removing what constitutes to be harmful from the path, like stones or thorns and so forth. And if removal of these harmful objects is from the branches of faith, then therefore, by all means, putting these things in the path is against faith. And also, not to put these things in the path is from the branches of faith. So the person should not take out of his home certain things and put them in the road where people pass, like, for example, bad smell, stones, thorns, etc., which can be considered as harmful. And then the Prophet والسلام, said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ, and having a sense of shame or bashfulness is from the Iman. And this is a noble character which incites doing what is good and keeping away from that which is evil. and this is from the best of morality and of the greatest in estimate. And this haya, bashfulness, is from faith, because faith is compliance and subsistence. And the one who has a sense of shame and bashfulness, that makes him withhold from indulging in sin. Then he, rahimahullah, mentioned the arkan, the six arkan of iman, and then that you believe in Allah and تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وبالقدر خيره وشره, that you believe in Allah, in the angels, his books, his messengers, and the last day, and in the pre-decree, it's good and it's bad. These arkan, these are pillars of iman, of faith, and there is no contradiction between the arkan of iman, the arkan of faith, and the branches of faith, because what is intended here is that if faith means the conviction, then in this case it is centered upon the six pillars, because all of these pillars are i'tiqad, are faith, conviction. However, if we say that iman comprises actions and its varied and in its various forms and kinds, then in this case it is 70 and odd branches. So therefore, the arkan, this hadith on the arkan of iman, is in reference to those that are fundamentals in faith. The hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam concerning the six pillars, this is a hadith of i'tiqad, of conviction. And this hadith about the branches is to clarify the traits of good, meaning the actions. Then the author, then inshallah ta'ala, in the next class we'll go over the a brief explanation of these six pillars, inshallah ta'ala. In the next class we'll go over a brief explanation of these six pillars of iman before we talk about the third level, and that is ihsan, which is one pillar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.